You have your Bible with you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is speaking to us about being God's children. The very first verse indicates that that's who he is writing this to. As dear children, followers of God. We find in these first verses that Paul is giving a challenge to separation from the world as God's children. There's even an undertone or an overtone, probably is what we should say, overtone rather than undertone here, because of it's the message that is being given, in that God is wanting his children to understand their position, and their position as children is that of being wise. I don't think that Paul is trying to knock the world as he is writing this. I don't think he's trying to put them down in his statements. But when you look at it, just simply put, what Paul is saying, that as a person is not a Christian, then they are walking as a foolish person. And if they're walking as a Christian, they're walking as a wise person. Being children of God, we need to realize that we are to walk in wisdom. And what he's saying basically, as a person who walks in wisdom, is somebody who understands. He understands light and darkness. He understands right and wrong. He understands what it is to be a Christian. There is an important aspect in what Paul is saying here about separation from the world and its claims and its ideologies, its standards and its ways. If we pick up in verse number 15, see then. See, he's laid a 14-verse groundwork or foundation for verse 15, 16, and on. See then that you walk circumspectly or diligently or carefully. There's a message in that itself right there. So many times we look at these verses and we can become sidetracked with the text that we're supposed to be looking at because we see the importance of these other areas. And that's a message in itself, that we walk diligently and carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I just read three verses, and there are at least three different messages in those three verses. There's actually more that you could work into and work from if you look at it. We could spend a lot of time this morning talking about the second part of verse 16, because the days are evil. We could even open it up onto the floor this morning and have comments from the congregation about how evil the days are. What you've read this past week, what you've heard about this past week, all of the evil that's around us. We could spend hours talking about that portion of the verse. We could spend a lot of time about in the portion of Scripture here in verse 15 and 17 where he's speaking about being wise or unwise. There's a lot to be said in those two thoughts there, the wisdom of God and the foolishness of this world. For a little bit, though, let's take a notice, just a little direct focus on this portion of Scripture that speaks about time, redeeming the time. I believe it was Brengel that said, the sun and moon are God's clock, which mark off your year, or mark off the year, into definite periods. The arrival of each should remind us of the brevity of time. Every one of us here this morning have at least two distinct reminders every year of the clock ticking, the calendar being flipped. We have at least two. Every one of us have a birthday, and every one of us are reminded once again as the calendar flips over from December to January. Those two things remind us every single year that time is continuing to go on. Birthdays add up, years click off. And how rapidly they go. The more we see of them, the faster they seem to go by. That's been said over and over again, and yet it's amazingly more true every year. Maybe some of you keep track of your anniversaries. That's another thing that clicks and reminds us of time. Maybe some of you keep track of your spiritual birthday. That's another thing that takes place that clicks off the periods of time that expire in our lives. All of these things bring us to the reality that time is slipping by us. If you're 30 years old this morning, on average, you have spent 10 years of your life in bed sleeping. You have spent 2 years at the table eating. If you're 45 years old this morning, you have spent 15 years in bed sleeping and 3 years at the table eating. If you're 60 years old this morning, you have spent 20 years in bed sleeping and 4 years eating. I'm a little over 45 years old, got a year on to that. I think it's quite humorous to realize that I have spent 3 years of my life eating. What a wonderful pastime. What a wonderful pastime. But when you stop and look at it from that viewpoint, from that angle, you say, I have been eating for more than 3 years solid? What a waste of time. If you sleep on average 8 hours a day, which is how the calculation is done, probably not everybody here gets 8 hours a day sleeping. You may like to, you may try to, but you may not accomplish it. Some people can survive on 8 hours of sleep every day, and some people can survive on much less than 8 hours of sleep every day. Can you imagine at 45 years of age that 15 years has gone by with doing nothing more than sleeping? Those are incredible numbers when you think about our lives. Paul said, redeem the time. What is meant by time? What do we think of when this word is used, when Paul presents this thought to us of redeeming the time? What is meant by time? Well, if you go to the dictionary, you'll come up with a long definition trying to define what time is. It could really be brought down to two words. Measurable duration. Measurable duration. It's taking the interval between two points. Now, when we look at that on an individual basis or a personal basis, that would mean that as it concerns us, that it is the limitation of our existence from birth to death. I made mention some time ago that my dad turned 70 just a couple of weeks ago. I was able to go see my mom and dad just a week after, or a little few days after his 70th birthday. And talking with Dad, he said, you know, I realize now what it really means to be living on borrowed time. The Bible says 70 years is a good number of years. It's somewhat of a promise that people cling to. And Dad looks at it and says, you know, now that I've reached that 70-year mark, I'm living on borrowed time. I don't know if he's borrowing from me. Measured duration from one point to another point, and that interval that is in between is considered to be time. My birth to my death, your birth to your death is what we would consider on a personal level this morning as to time. And Paul is telling us that we are to redeem the time. Time has expired for some. As we look at the year ahead, we may wonder whose time will expire this year. It could be someone that we least expect. It could be someone that we would consider has many, many years remaining in their measured duration, their time. One thing we can see and understand, at least in measure, is that when we consider time and time to be expired, that is when, as we would look at it, it is eternity begins. Time is no longer measured in intervals of a time point of one to another. Redeeming the time. Redeeming means that there's something to do with purchasing, buying back. You would say, as you take that thought and connect it with this verse, that that's impossible, that we cannot buy back the time that is already gone. We have heard that, we have said that, we have believed that, and it's a reality that we cannot go back and undo what has been done. Time is already gone that is past. So what does he mean when he says, redeem the time? Quite a thought-provoking statement. Redeem the time. See, there's a moral responsibility involved with our time. There is a moral value of life. Redeeming the time would be, in essence, taking what we have before us and using it circumspectly, carefully, diligently, be careful here, in an attempt to undo what we didn't use circumspectly in times past. Not saying that we buy our salvation, I'm not saying that. But there comes a point in time in our lives where we must begin the process of walking in wisdom. What is it to redeem the time? What is it to be circumspect about our life here on this earth, our walk here on this earth? There are some comparisons that we can look at. Perhaps the bold comparison that we could look at would be that of the prodigal son, spending our time in riotous living. The prodigal went out and wasted his substance. He basically slapped his dad in the face and said to his dad in so many words, unspoken words, "Dad, I want you to die. I want my inheritance so that I can go live my life the way I want to live it." And so he went, as he received his inheritance, to live his life in that style. On the other hand, we look at the elder brother. The elder brother was a good son, wasn't he? He stuck by Dad. He stayed with Dad. He worked the farm. He picked up where Dad's age was giving him limitations, and he carried the load. He did everything that was necessary to see that that farm continued to prosper and succeed and be profitable. Of course, he did it because he knew that it was all coming to him. His brother was out of the picture. His brother was gone. His brother had already received. It was no longer any part of it going to his brother. Everything there was coming to him. And quite often we will focus on redeeming the time or in any other aspect in that story of the prodigal son on the negligence of that prodigal and the wickedness of that prodigal rather than looking at the wickedness of the son who stayed. When we can do both and realize that neither one of them really were the son that they should have been. The moment the younger son came back, the younger brother came back, the older brother began to think in his mind, uh-oh, here comes this challenge to my inheritance that I have worked for. I have stuck by my dad. I have stayed with the farm. I have labored and toiled. No way is this kid coming back into this life. He was bitter over the circumstances of his younger brother coming back home and finding grace from the Father. So what is that all about? We could spend time talking about motives again. Why do we do what we do? It would appear that this elder brother was just a genuine son. But in the scrutiny of the new light that is brought in from God's word, we realize that this boy was doing things out of a desire for himself. Everything was coming to him. Not concerned about the people around. Not concerned about the brother that fell. Not concerned about the one that stumbled. Redeeming the time. There's a value to life. Not spending it in riotous living. Not spending it in selfish, clean living either. Spend it in clean living. Leave the other adjective off. Selfish living. What about those of the talents? We can spend our time burying our talents, hiding our talents, denying our talents. Or do we spend our time using our talents? I should have mentioned already, but here's a good point, a good place to mention it. The young people did a tremendous job last Sunday night. Wonderful service. Wonderful time seeing the young people actively involved, leading, participating. I know for a fact that it would have been easy for some of them, many of them, to hide their talent. But I'm glad this morning that that talent was made visible. The budding promise that was there. That is there. Do we hide it in slothfulness? Do we bury it under a napkin? Do we say that we don't have it? Or do we invest in our talent? Do we use what we do have for a good purpose so that it can bring forth a yield, a blessing, a harvest? Walking circumspectly, redeeming the time. Why should we redeem the time? What's the purpose in it? Well, as you stop and reconsider again this morning that a 45-year-old has spent 15 years sleeping and 3 years eating, It doesn't take long for the necessary things of life to accumulate in time. And if we stop and look at the unnecessary things of life and its accumulation of time, what it represents, the older we get. Why should we redeem the time? Because of its value. The price of something increases as the demand goes up and the limits go down. The quantity decreases, but the demand increases. We cannot retrieve the time that is past. We have a limited amount of time in the future. Every moment that slips away from us makes the value of the moments ahead of us even greater in their value. Because of its value, we should redeem the time. We should redeem the time because of the amount of that is before us is short. What is the word from God that speaks to us about the amount of time? Where does your mind go as you think about how much time is before us? Life is but a vapor, and it vanisheth away. That's the way Scripture compares the amount of time that we have on this earth to vapor. It's just here and then it's gone. There's no promise of an extension. Life is short. Why should we redeem the time? Because the future is uncertain. Proverb writer said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Why should we redeem the time? Right here. Today is the day of salvation. Redeeming the time because time is our only opportunity to secure salvation. Redeeming the time because today is the day that we must choose to serve God. It's an Old Testament verse that is profound for you and I today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You say, "Oh, Brother Sigler, we've done that. Did that years ago." Even though we don't necessarily like the entirety of the thought, it's good for us to rededicate ourselves to the thought of choosing this day whom we will serve. In texting a friend of mine from yesteryear, years gone by, we haven't had much contact over the years, and seems like at Christmas time we get in contact again, and he told me that he's rededicated his life to Christ and serving the Lord. We probably, as holiness folk as such, we would somewhat cringe at that and say, "Oh, what are you talking about?" When in reality, you and I need to rededicate from time to time, refill from time to time those choices and those decisions and refill of the Holy Spirit. We must have a renewal. We must have a conscious point of a dedication. Sometimes a rededication because of the waxing. Or the waning of that dedication perhaps in a life. Redeeming the time. Maybe someone would ask the question this morning, how do we redeem the time? And a writer in the Biblical Illustrator put it this way with three simple points. First of all, he said, how do we redeem the time? By sincerely repenting of sin. That's a good start. Sincerely repenting, turning from, going a different direction, turning towards God, repenting from sin. Number two, he said, by considering how we have wasted it in the past and avoid such in the future. It's a good second point. Number three, he said, by forming a wise and judicious plan for the regulation of our conduct and adhere to it. That may be the tough one. Time can never be recalled. Wasted years can never be brought back. But the future, the time that is yet before us, can be preserved, can be redeemed in that we use it the way that we ought to use it, that we ought to walk circumspectly and in wisdom. Yes, I would agree with the biblical illustrator writer when he said that a sincere repentance, a renunciation of the past is necessary. All of the guilt and all of the sin is turned away from, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Calvary's Lamb. Yes, that's a good start. That's a beginning. The second point of how to redeem the time is a complete and unconditional dedication of ourselves in full surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, then only, when the future is put into God's hands, shall we be able to buy back the days that are gone by doubly exerting ourselves to use profitably those that remain. To redeem our past idleness by a wholehearted present service. To redeem our past indifference by intensifying our zeal and earnestness in the service of God. What about the past? Look it over. What about the future? Redeem it. Carefully use it. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We only have so much time remaining. What are we going to do with it? You see, what we do with our time is indicating the direction that we're going. The direction that we're going is indicating the destiny where we will arrive. The point that time no longer exists. Measurable duration, that is. Redeeming the time. Some people say that the year before us gives us a clean slate. And if that be the case, what will we do this year? What will we do this year as a Christian walking in wisdom, not as fools? Let's stand together this morning. Prayer is that we would redeem the time that is allotted to us, that we would do our best to give profit, to give profit to the Master. Not just simply by being the elder brother or sitting in the church pew all dressed up in our righteousness, but to give of ourselves, to walk circumspectly, carefully and diligently, as God's word would present it to us to walk, to be what he wants us to be. Lord willing, we'll see you back again tonight. Thank you for your attention and attendance this morning. Daniel Franklin, would you dismiss us in prayer?